Alright, so what's up everyone? It's your boy, fucking idiot.
And a bird. Krakow!
We haven't even got to the questions and you're already shitposting. That's great.
It's gonna be one giant shitpost of an audio.
What else would it be? Really? Okay, so we got 13 questions that are all surrounding music because, gosh dang it.
By CreativeBean18. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. So.
Also, honorary mention to my sweet Rosebud, who is listening to us talk. But she's in the library, so she cannot talk back.
Well, my sweet Rosebud, that is just disgusting.
I've called her that before.
I know, you call her that all the time. It's still disgusting. Right, so we'll start the beginning. Favorite song discovery of 2019? I'll let you have that one first.
This one's a really hard one, because you have, like, introduced me to so much music. So, I cheated, and I had to look at all the questions first so I could actually think about it, so that I wasn't sitting here for 1 million years.
It still sounds like you're stalling because you're still thinking about it.
No, I narrowed it down to two. So the first one is Lateralis by Tool.
Mm-hmm.
You called it. I love that song. It's really good. It's chill to listen to. I just like all the thought that goes into it, that went into it, into writing it, into everything. My second one is I discovered Nothing But Thieves this year. And I really love them. And I love their song Particles because it gives me feelings. Gives me a lot of feelings.
Good feelings? I hope they're good feelings.
They're pretty good feelings. I mean, the song is about being really fucked up, but doing whatever you can for the people that you love. So fixing yourself and being a better person for the person that you love, even though you're, like, a little bit fucked up.
Okay.
Mm.
I mean, it's admirable. It's admirable.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, it's a banger.
Is it a banger?
What? When you make you mean what?
What exactly defines a banger?
Something that's good. No, it's good. The chorus goes like, "Baby, tell me if I'm being strange, and if I need to rearrange my particles, I will for you." And it's very good,
oh
romantic.
Oh my god, that is
I
disgusting.
Love it.
Absolutely disgusting.
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 No, your turn.
So I'm sure you're aware. I've been discovering a fair bit myself every week through Discover Weekly and stuff like that. It can't be Zeal because I sort of caught on to them last year. So I'd say as far as this year's concerned, it would have to be... It could be Neck.
Oh, I introduced you to them.
The Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. No, I think they were on my Discover Weekly and you just happened to know who they were as well.
I'm going to take credit for it anyway.
You can have it. It's all yours. But it's going to be either Neck or something by Mjoll.
Oh, yes. I remember. What is it called?
The Black Gaze sort
Jord?
Of band.
Jord? Jord?
Jord? Yeah. Jord. I think, yeah. Good old Scandinavia, mm-hmm. giving us the best shit
mm-hmm.
since forever ago. So one of those. Because I think I found Isson last year as well.
Only so. Halfway through the year. Probably got plenty more to discover.
So yeah, that's mine. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Good
answer. I approve.
I'll take it. You want to hit off number two?
Oh, am I going? Okay. So, actually, no, you go first.
So it's a song that reminds me of someone I'd rather forget about. And I think the reason it reminds me of this person is because they associated it so heavily with myself and how they felt about me. They would use it as a way of saying, "Hey, look, I'm aware that I have a fiancé now, but I'm still really into you, da 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 da."
Ah!
And it was really like, it was not...
Just...
Okay.
I hope that caught on my mic because that's how I feel right now.
It very much did. Oh, you enjoy your tea. You enjoy your tea.
Just imagine the face I'm making right now.
it's It's even more complicated than that, because her fiance was another woman, and said other woman like absolutely is disgusted by me and is half the reason I would never go to Vegas at this point. But I've met the one that went down with since. And it was real fucking awkward, but her boyfriend's a good mate of mine, so he's alright. Yeah. So there's that, and probably anything by Avenged Sevenfold at this point kind of reminds me of my ex, because she's big into him. Yeah.
So I don't really have an answer for this, because I don't think I ever listen to music and think, oh, this reminds me of someone who I'd really rather forget. Like, I did it the other way around, where I thought about people who I'd rather forget, and then I thought about music that I would associate with them. But even then, if I heard that song on the radio or something, I wouldn't think of them. So the way I'm going to answer this is, I'm going to say that anything by Ariana Grande makes me very upset. Because...
just anything.
No, literally anything. I used to really like Ariana Grande. Like, I used to really, really, really... really like her. I thought, like,
mm-hmm.
I still do think she's really talented, and she is really talented, and her vocal range is really amazing, and it's just she's done like a lot of really disappointing shit, even beyond just like being a dumb like young adult. Let's all talk about tattoo that. Shit, like, it's just dumb. But beyond that, she's done a lot of disappointing things, like encouraging, like, well, not encouraging, but condoning her fans, like, sending death threats to people. It's just, like, and defending them for it. It's been really disappointing. And, like, every time I hear a song of hers come on the radio, I get really upset, because I'm like, I trusted you, bitch! I believed in you! You let me down!
Well, that's unfortunate that her music might be tarnished for you like that. I think I've run into people that have been shit people that have made good music, and the unfortunate state of that before as well. Birdsum comes to mind, the bloke who made all the Birdsum stuff. Vikernessy sort of was linked to a bunch of church burnings, which is fine, burn whatever church you want, don't get me wrong, but then he also sort of murdered one of the members of Mayhem, and and that's also fine, because the bloke he murdered was a bit of a dick. But then he got out of prison and started a YouTube channel, and he's, like, full white nationalist, racist as fuck, etc., etc. So
I'm literally surprised Pikachu right now.
Pikachu. But, like, he's a bit of a cunt, as it turns out.
Oh, just a tad.
But there's still a lot of edgy teenagers who, like, just deliberately listen to his music. Oh, a wee bit of a wank.
You know, just a...
You're not... If you're going to do it, you've got to commit to it. If he's a wee bit of a wank...
I need to channel my inner Rosie.
Oh, shit. Have a butch as it is.
Oh. What's the next question?
A song that needs to be played loud.
Well, you already said it, but I was thinking Neck by Psychedelic Porn Crumpets.
Okay.
Because that's a good one to play loud. But I
thought you had an answer that you were contractually obliged to give to this question. Oh, no, that was the dancing one, wasn't it?
Yeah. The other answer I had for this was, do you remember that video that came out, that anime music video that came out, like, years ago? Me.
Yeah. Weirdly sexual.
Very one. Sexual. Like,
yeah.
When you say weirdly sexual, it implies that it's not meant to be sexual, but no, it was purposely...
No, it's very much meant to be.
It's very much purposely... It's such a banger! And there's a remix of it called Chronic Remix. It's like a three-part song, but it's like flows into... Each part flows into one, so it could be like one 10-minute long song. And it's so good! And it's so loud! So whenever I hear that... I have to turn up my headphones too, as loud as I can take.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Do you have a contractually obligated answer to give?
No, not for this one. But, I mean, pretty much my entire library, really, except for, like, all the soft shit I listen to go to sleep or whatever, but...
Your sad boy music, you mean?
Yeah, or like the fucking Joji or like Paul Dempsey or whatever. But there's not really... The whole point of half of the shit I listen to is that it's meant to be loud and aggressive and it's meant to make you uncomfortable.
I don't think it makes me uncomfortable.
No, but like if you look at like say Marduk or someone like that, where it's just constant in your face, making you feel like you're in an acid bath sort of a sound. Like it's not meant to be played quietly. It sort of defeats the purpose.
That's how I feel about I Wrestled a Bear Once.
Yeah, I Wrestled a Bear Once is very much like that.
Yeah, it's very, very
shock factor sort of a deal where it's like.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
It goes somewhere and then it goes somewhere completely different and it's meant to be like, what the fuck?
But it's also loud.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a song that maybe is not meant to be loud that you like to play loud?
Ooh.
Like, because your genre of music, like you said, it's meant to be played loud. Do you have an answer for that that's not just that genre?
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'd say I like playing... It's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel. That's an absolute banger. I don't give a fuck. It's fucking mint. Yeah, like just slamming that out while you're in the shower. Or to Rosie's point, actually, she's just made for us, Mr. Eugene Zuckerberg singing Macklemore.
Or him singing... Coochie coochie ya ya da da.
Oh yes. Oh, that's brilliant. My neighbor's Eugene, and I'm dancing in prison.
Oh. Actually, no. Wait, no. That's my answer for the next one. A song that makes you want to dance.
Oh right, of course.
My name is Eugene, and I'm dancing in prison.
Shout outs to Prune Hub. Pool gang, fuck you! Alright.
My real answer for that next question, though, a song that makes you want to dance is, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? By Jet. Because I swear to God, every time that song comes on, I lose it. It's on my, I have a work playlist for when I'm doing, like, stock stuff and I'm allowed to listen to music and just not talk to human beings. And, I usually just play that song on repeat, to be honest, because it makes me want to... Like, it energizes me, and then I get more productive.
Yeah. It's one of those sort of high-energy, get-shit-done songs, right?
Also...
It'd be good for the gym.
It is made for karaoke. Like...
Yeah, yeah, I can kind of see that. Like, it's no fucking... What's the one I'm thinking of? Bohemian Rhapsody. But it's definitely up there. Yeah, like, it's...
I think Bohemian Rhapsody is a different kind of karaoke song, where it's like, everyone, if you're all really drunk... And you just fucking like scream singing the lyrics, whereas
along with the nips are getting bigger or something like that.
Yeah, but with Are You Gonna Be My Girl, it's like people will actually sing that, and that's more of a like you want to dance and just do a really bad headbang into the little karaoke booth, just knock your foreheads together.
Right up with like most Muse tracks and stuff, like Knights of Sidonia is a good one.
Oh fuck!
Like a chorus of people, no one's gonna take me. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Unless you're playing it in a really tiny karaoke booth and the music is really compressed and awful.
And the MIDI tracks that they use are, like, terrible? Fuck, yeah, okay.
Not speaking from experience or anything.
Let's gloss over that one. Something that makes me want to dance. I mean, that depends on your definition of dance, really, doesn't it? Plenty of songs that make me want to move around.
It's a song that makes you want to dance.
Right.
So whatever your definition of that is.
It's very loose. Like, it's a weird thing for me, dancing in general. But if I was to dance to anything, it would have to be, obviously, it'd be Man's Not Hot. Let's be real. It's me, like, in essence, it's everything that I'm about. It's wearing a jacket in, like, 30 to 40 degree weather because fuck it.
Oh my god.
It's...
I can totally imagine you losing yourself in Man's Not Hot.
Yeah, I mean, you got to really get into it, right? You know, when he gets to the four bit.
Hot battle and really with four, doll with a four, four. It was 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chill in the corridor. Your dad is 44.
I'm leaving that in just so you know.
No! Oh, no.
You done goofed.
I done goofed.
Rosie loves one woman.
Love you too, Rosie. Is that your answer? No, that's a good answer.
Is it? Yeah. I think it might have to be.
I think it might have to be.
I think that's all I got, really.
What's 1 plus 1? That's not this lyric!
Jesus Christ. Rosie stuffs up the lyric to her effective national anthem. Okay. A song to drive to. I mean, I'd need to drive for an answer to this one, wouldn't I?
Well, have you really never driven, like, even learners?
Oh, no, I'm driven. Just not with music, because I haven't driven enough.
Yeah, because you were a learner.
No. In all honesty, there are several songs that I can think of that would be really good while driving. I think Be Quiet and Drive Away is a good one. The old Deftones song.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a classic for that.
Not some Shut Up and Drive by Rihanna.
Oh, God, no. Anything but that. Oh, absolutely. The face not anything, made. But most things but that.
I think mine would be Almost Anything by Kavinsky.
Kavinsky?
Yeah.
Like Night Call would be a sick driving
Night
song.
Call,
if
odd
you
look.
Didn't fall asleep.
If you didn't. No, I can see why you'd fall asleep. I feel like Night Call, like that would, that's a, it literally makes me want to get into a car and drive deep into the mountains or the woods and just drive.
Yeah, like 3 in the morning with like neon lights everywhere for no reason.
But wait, you know what wouldn't be a good song to drive to by Kavinsky? Road Game, because then I'd want to go really fast.
Yeah, Rampage I feel like would have the same effect,
yes,
right? Where
you
like
you'd want to go like really fast.
You would want to be in like one of those early like 80s car racing games where the car turns sideways and you drift around every single corner on the track and shit.
Another one that makes me kind of puts me in a driving mood is Anything by The Midnight. They do like a lot of synthy, like dream wave kind of music. I'm thinking like Vampires or Memories.
So like, note to self, don't put myself in a car with Nixie when she's remotely tired because she will fall asleep.
Just fall asleep at the wheel. The next question, a song that makes you happy.
Go on.
Oh, take me it. First? Okay.
Yeah.
I can think of... So, I actually have a playlist. It's a very gay...
A happy playlist?
It's... No? Question mark? It's, I guess it's kind of a happy playlist. It's kind of a mixture of songs that make me happy. Have fun editing all the bird noises out of this, by the way.
Yeah, I'll have fun editing the movie from the louder amount of them too.
I have a playlist that's kind of like a mixture of songs that make me happy, songs that make me like feel really strong emotions, and songs that like, I wouldn't call them wedding songs, but like they're songs that are so important to me that this is music that I would play like at my wedding or something.
I was gonna
really...
say, so like they're your wedding songs.
Not, it's just something that means a lot to me. So I have like a playlist of music like that. And the first two songs on there are from Muse. They're Starlight and Feeling Good.
Of course.
I don't know if feeling happy, quotations, is what I feel when I listen to those. I just get really emotional. I feel like really...
Like happy tears? Like you can let all the emotion out a bit?
Or... I feel very whole. I don't know. It's good music. And it makes me feel things in a lot of different ways. So, yeah. I guess they make
Muse
me happy.
Muse is good music? No!
No!
Stop!
Nixie likes Muse? What a shocker!
You should see the wave on my fucking Audacity when I did that. It's like...
Have fun with my all the waves on my fucking Audacity.
Good lord. A song that makes me happy. I feel like Eclosion.
Ooh, Alcest?
By Alcest. Yeah. Just purely because it's less happy itself and more how relaxing it is, I think, that gets to me. And then when I get into that sort of relaxed, trancey state, I can smile a bit.
Is it kind of like what I described, where it's like you kind of just feel... You just feel.
I feel like it's much the opposite. It helps me enter a different state of being when I don't have to feel and I don't have to worry.
Okay.
And it takes me so far away from reality itself that I can be happy for a second.
Okay. I think... So your one is more about, like, the music.
Escapism.
Escapism. But also the music itself. I think how I feel about... feeling good in Starlight, I'm relate more to the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Rather, I mean, like, the music itself is good. I'm always gonna... the rhythm and everything is good. But yeah. For those songs, it's more the lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a terrible musician, so I pay more attention to how the music sounds.
Oh, you fucking liar. Muse, it's good. Birds flying high, sun in the sky. Reeds drifting by. You know how I feel. It's good.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, Rosie said it for me. Thanks, Rosie. Good on you. A song that makes you sad.
A song that makes you sad?
Yeah. Hang on, did I ever answer the song? I didn't even answer number two.
What was number two?
The song that makes you reminds you of someone you want to forget about.
Well, you talked about it, but you didn't actually say the song.
No, that song was "Do I Want to Know" by Arctic Monkeys, which is upsetting because it's a good track. So I kind of hate that it reminds me of her. Anyway, moving on. Now that we've totally fucked the order of everything, hooray! Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, Batsy.
Yeah, good job, me. A song that makes you sad. I have too many answers for this.
Can you cut it down to your top three?
It's sad, but in a good way. It's feeding the birds and hoping for something in return.
That's a good one. Something
for Kate? Something for Kate, yeah. And given that it's largely about how what Paul Dempsey describes as the best panic attack he's ever had. And I do quite often use it to calm me down during panic attacks because of the subject matter. It helps knowing that someone else is going through exactly the same thing, you know. But it is inherently either it or another song in Echolalia called Jerry, Stand Up.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly towards the end when he says, you know, all you need is fresh air, a nice new suit, walk in the park every day or two, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's this idea that you need to do some sort of benign, meaningless things in order to make yourself feel decent enough to get through the workday. Mm. Like that's going to make everything better all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah,
if you get a nice new shoot, if you take that walk, if you do this and then everything else, you'll feel better and fulfilled.
I can see how you can relate to that one, or that it would make you feel things.
Well, firstly, because of, yeah, it's much how I am. But secondly, who the fuck wears a suit?
Oh, you know, no one we happen to know happens to be a lawyer.
Oh, right. Shoutouts to suits, you fuckwit. Wow.
Yeah,
anyway,
no.
That's mine.
Suits? Wear a suit? Nah.
No. Stop it.
Stop it, you. For me, I couldn't actually think of I guess this is a proper answer, but I couldn't think of, like, a song in a traditional sense, in that a song that would come up on the radio. I thought of something from an OST from Mass Effect.
It's Nixie and songs from an OST.
Whoa, no! Can you believe it? Wow. Nixie listening to video game music? Unbelievable. No, mine would be an end once and for all and farewell and into the inevitable from Mass Effect 3, composed by Sam Hulick.
Never heard of him.
He did the soundtrack for Mass Effect 3 and probably a whole bunch of other things. Literally whenever that comes on my shuffle, if I'm not in the headspace for sad music, I have to skip it because it will immediately make me emotional and really fucking sad. And like, it's kind of like what you said where it's sad, but like a good sad. Because
a productive sad.
Well, not, it's more, because when I hear these songs, I think of my playthroughs in the entire Mass Effect franchise. And it's like, I think that it's a really well-written series of games. At least the first three, which is what these songs would be, like, evoking memories of, considering it's the end of the third game. So it just gives me this really whole emotional feeling of, like, accomplishment, but also sadness, and I feel like the names of the song kind of explain themselves, and end once and for all, and then farewell and into the inevitable. It kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It does. It very much paints a picture with titles alone. Mm-hmm. So I can see what that'd be like. I haven't played ME3. I think I've played some of 1 and 2. Don't hate me.
I don't hate you. I just know what we have to do next.
Right, a song that moves you forward.
I don't know what this question means. I don't know what it's describing.
I feel like it's a song that forces you to either progress or makes you get on with your day or something like that.
Does it mean a song that moves you forward as in, you know, in that sense, get you through the
day? Kicks you in the ass to get you going.
Yeah, or does it mean it more like in a deep philosophical way where it makes you want to better yourself or move forward?
We can answer both.
Okay.
Yeah, bugger it.
Do you have an answer? Because this is... I don't...
Okay. So
I had to look through my Spotify library.
As far as getting up and getting my shit sorted is concerned, I think it could be any number of them. But there's a song by The Agonist called Predator and Prayer, which starts off with a choir just over and over again saying, "We hear you, we don't care," over and over and over again. And then kicks in to Alyssa Weigler's basically tearing the government to shreds. But with that said, it's just very upbeat, energetic, sort of get your shit done because something's about to happen. Even if it isn't about to happen, that doesn't matter. It gives off that feeling of urgency, which helps me get up and do shit. As far as philosophically speaking and bettering self, pretty much most of the stuff Tool writes, like Lateralis, for example, as we talked about earlier, is a big one for that, and the idea of just embracing random.
Yeah.
But also, a lot of Architects, and it's not just a personal, you know, it's not a case of bettering myself, but a case of things that humanity needs to do to better itself, too. You look at the likes of These Colors Don't Run, or something like that, where it's, hey, your government is doing this stuff, and it's pretty shit, and you're kind of, you know, destroying an entire planet for the sake of money, and it's not really cool. We should work on that. So, I suppose there's a lot of stuff. I think In Heart's Wake makes a lot of environmentally conscious stuff as well, where it's things that we're doing that we should not be doing that we should wake up to. Again, you could call back to Billy Joel from earlier with We Didn't Start the Fire. He's huge for that.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Mm. Your answer is significantly deeper than mine.
Sorry.
So in the sense of a song that kind of makes me, adrenalizes me to kick my day forward, I would say, there's a lot that I could say for this, but I was looking through my Spotify library and I saw this and it stood out. It's Otherworld a song from Final Fantasy X. Whoa, shocker! Composed by Nobuo Uematsu. It's just a loud metal screamo song that spurs me into action.
Wait, there's metal on Final Fantasy X? Or what?
Oh, you're a surprise Pikachu.
I played
Pikachu.
Final Fantasy X, I don't recall this.
You are the surprise Pikachu now. it's, yeah, well, yeah.
Right? Apparently I've been there before, but I do not recall.
It's called Otherworld. I'll show it to you after this. But it's really good. The song obviously relates back to the game, but it also can relate in a more, in a broader sense, where the song, like, the first verse goes, "Go now if you want it, an other world awaits you. Don't you give up on it, you bite the hand that feeds you." It's like, In the context of the game, it's about, like, not being defined by religion or what other people shape you to be, but building your own path and making your own future and taking destiny into your own hands. So you can make it deep, you can make it philosophical, or it can just be a really loud song that wakes me up in the morning and makes me want to kick ass.
So it's a Por qué no los dos kind of a one.
No, Por qué no los dos. Yes, exactly. It's a really good song. Damn. Though. I reckon you'd like it. There's like a monologue section in the middle that's similar to the music that you've shown me that you've really enjoyed. But yeah, it's good.
Cool. So, 70s songs or groups it gives you the option.
This was the hardest fucking question for me. No, because I had too many answers.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I grew up on 70s music because that's the generation? Genre? No, not genre. That's like the period era of music that my dad is in love with. So me growing up, I would just listen to that constantly. We used to take road trips down the East Coast because back then it was just as cost efficient, if not more, to take a road trip rather than just fly. It would be me in the car, stuck in the back seat, lying like just fucking sprawled out, listening to these songs on these 20 songs on repeat over and over and over again. And then when we got to our destination, Dad would bust out the karaoke machine and sing the same 20 songs over and over and over again. But
what songs out of interest?
So many, but the top three that I narrowed down were Hotel California, Eagles. The second one was American Pie, Don McLean.
Oh, of course.
And then Piano Man, Billy Joel. Those three songs, I feel like they shaped my fucking childhood. They, like, meant...
Was Piano Man even 70s?
Yeah, it was, like, I think it was, like, 75? 76? I'm gonna look it up, actually. 73. Piano Man was 73.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
There you go. That dude is old as fuck.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure all of these are 70s, but this music, I grew up with it. I know the lyrics like the back of my hand. I can hear them playing over and over in my head. And while they didn't shape me in the sense that like I was too young to understand the depth of the lyrics or anything, it's just these tunes like are so integral to my childhood that they mean so much to me.
Are you winning on me?
I am. Silly.
I'm not a clever man. So mine was really easy. This is released in dead on 1970. Fucking War Pigs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was dead on 1970. And yeah. That's still a fucking tune.
Most of the bangers from Black Sabbath would have been 70s.
Yeah, yeah. So that Paranoid was there, and then you had a couple of, like, Sabbath Body Sabbath was in the 70s too as well, I think. And most of their absolute fucking jams.
Somehow I knew you were going to say War Pigs.
Why?
I just felt it in my boons. In my boons.
In your boons.
I felt it in my boons. Disgusting.
That's very disgusting.
Is that it for your answer?
Well, see, I had the same problem as you. I was raised with a lot of that kind of shit from the 70s and 80s. Like some Supertramp. The Police were more 80s, but then R.E.M. were more 90s. But then U2 kind of had some stuff in the 70s as well. The other one that sticks out to me, I just need to work out the release date for it, but I think... One sec. Yeah, Dead on 1970 as well. The Immigrant Song.
Yes! Immigrant Song! I would say that one would be my answer, but from a more modern quotation marks perspective, where I didn't listen to that growing up, but when I discovered it a lot later on, and that's something that I would say is a 70s song to me without realizing that it was a 70s song. Does that make sense?
Okay. A late discovered 70s song. Yeah, my dad was big into him, so I'm big into Led Zepp.
Yeah, no, a lot of people were.
Yeah? Yeah, pretty common. For a reason, obviously. They're pretty talented, even if they didn't nick Stairway to Heaven off of that one other band.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. A song that is a cover by another artist. This one's hard because I don't think I listen to covers a lot. Unless it's... Actually, no. I listen to... what is it? Like a version? Like a version. Yeah.
Triple J.
Triple J, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I really liked Denzel Curry covering...
Denzel Bulls Curry on, with the Bulls on Parade.
That was so good. Oh, he did that such a mint. Fucking good job.
He went in too. Like
he went in, and it bloody well paid off. He did amazing. But otherwise, I think I really like Wicked Game, covered by James Vincent McMorrow. I actually didn't realize that was a cover for the longest time. I thought that was the original, and then I found out that it was a cover and. It's good.
I've got a couple for this. Jimi Hendrix's cover of Hey Joe is fucking amazing. But I think my favorite would be The Faceless when they covered a Depeche Mode song called Shake the Disease.
I haven't heard this, but I fucking adore Depeche Mode, so you're gonna have to show me this.
Well, I've probably shown you another one that's really good, which is Lacuna Coil when they did Enjoy the Silence.
Yes, yeah.
Lacuna Coil, of course, also did R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion, and they did a really good job of that, too. Mm.
Does, what's it called? Does Nocturne by Hexen count?
Does it count? It's partially a cover because, of Chopin.
Because that's also really good.
That's a fucking 2.5 right there. F minor key, I tell you. There's a lot you can do in F minor.
Well, it counts now. I'm making it count.
Alright, we'll take it. A song from the year where you were born.
I don't want to single out the year that I was born, so I'm just going to do a song from the 90s.
I wonder if I can sort my Spotify by date.
Like, date of release?
Hmm.
I looked up 90s on Spotify, and then I went to a 90s, like, top hits playlist. So, there's so many things in this playlist that, like, I didn't realize were in the 90s, so I don't really know where I'm going to start. Like, there's Daft Punk, there's Depeche Mode, there's Duran Duran.
Kelly put out a song in 94.
Probably don't want to list Prince. That one.
Wait, not.
I got one. Zombie and Linger from Cranberries.
Oh, shit, Linger, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Both of those from the 90s, and both of those very, very, very good songs.
All right, that's a good one. No, I'm just going to work mine out, for fuck's sake. There's a Marduk album that came out in 94. Mm. It's called Opus Nocturne. It's their third album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the track on it that I dig the most was Soul for Souls.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a good one. Whole album was like, I think the last album they did, which was that deliberately terribly produced We Are Black Metal Band kind mm-hmm. of a sound. And then they just started deciding, fuck it, and actually producing stuff well. Yeah, that's definitely, that was a good album from 94.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of other good stuff that came out in 94, or just before or after it, though.
Mm. It's hard to single it out to just one year.
Yeah, right, mm. right.
We only got two questions left.
Mm-hmm.
I really struggled with both of these, so I don't particularly have answers for them. But, so, the first one is a song that reminds you of yourself. I don't particularly listen to music and think, this is me.
I do it with other people a lot. I feel like I listen to this and go, oh, that's fucking rosy as shit. You
know? Yeah. No, I do the same too. Like, sometimes I listen to music and I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally Beth's music.
What are you talking about?
Wait. You Can Be So Cruel by Royal Blood. That's me.
Oh yeah, that's you. That's definitely you.
Well, what's this supposed to mean? Well...
Yeah, I'm just saying. You make your own conclusions. But it's you. A song that reminds me of me. I brought up Feeding the Birds earlier.
Mm. I feel like a song from Paul would be fitting for you.
There's always bats.
Bats?
There's a funny story surrounding that. I had no idea that Paul Dempsey had done any solo stuff whatsoever. Not a clue until a few years after the fact. I'd already been Bats in several different places, and I'd sort of stumbled into the fact that he had this album, and he had it up for free.
Oh.
On the internet. And I was like, well, fuck, alright, more music, you know, I'll take it. Mm. They hadn't done a Something for Kate album in a few years by then.
Mm.
About 4 or 5 years. There was 6 years between Desert Lights and Leave Yourself to Science.
Mm.
And the 3 year mark in the middle of it is when he released the solo album.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 1 or 2 years old by the time I got into it. And the first track on the album was Bats. And I was like, well, that's
fitting.
Something. That's okay, that works. And it ended up being, I think, the first song on the album I learned how to play.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that.
With that weird C chord that I played where I barred my forefinger at the bottom and then let it go.
Mm.
That's really hard. That's really difficult for me to do. My hand just doesn't want to do it. But anyway, so yeah, that one's pretty. But also, there's one on Leave Yourself to Science called Sooner or Later You're Gonna Have to Do Something About Me.
Yeah.
And that one gets me in the sense that it's like, when I go out somewhere and I'm able to get drunk enough, that I shed my sort of social anxiety ball and I'm able to be myself for a bit, I don't ever want to come home from that. And so it gets to the point where I'm still out and it's 4 in the morning. I came home from the one time I went clubbing at, it was a club called Deviate, which is like a metal club. One floor was psytrance and had all like the cyber goths with the floral hair extensions and all that. One was mostly like Guns N' Roses and whatnot, and the other one was where I was, where the harsher stuff was. And I came home from that like 6 o'clock in the morning. It took a bunch of convincing for me to actually go home at all. And so when I got into that state of just, yeah, I think the line was, I haven't run out of reasons yet to be wide awake.
Right.
I've only experienced it that one time, but it felt very me.
Hmm.
It felt like I was able to be myself in a public setting for once, and that's not something I run into very often.
That's nice. Well, I'm glad that you're able to connect to a song like that.
Hmm.
I think while you were answering that, I went through like a couple of songs in my playlist. That one playlist I told you about, the one that I like deeply connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of all the songs in there, the one that I relate to most intimately as like this feels like a reflection of me almost, or that gets me the most is Teardrop from Massive Attack.
Uh-huh, Massive Attack.
I love Massive Attack. Basically anything on Mezzanine is instant winner to me. But in terms of like relation to a song, I really like Teardrop. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like I can get a sense of peacefulness, and I just empathize really deeply with that song in a way that I can't explain. And I, yeah, it's good. But also, You Can Be So Cruel by Royal Blood.
Okay, a song by an artist with the voice that I love. It's gonna be my boy Ihsahn, isn't it?
Damn it! I was gonna say Ihsahn!
my good Norwegian boy. Young Dab. No, Ihsahn. Speaking of voices, good old Young Dab, what a lad.
F.
We'll miss you, mate. Anyway, so yeah, Ihsahn, and it's gonna be probably Celestial Violence.
You literally stole my song too!
I mean, it's a fucking tune.
It is.
The dude's voice in it is mental. There's also Twin Black Angels.
Twin Black Angels is really good.
And there's another one that's pretty soft that I've got to remember. The Place Where You Were Lost and I Belong. That's a totally soft one with like no choruses whatsoever. And he just sings it. And you can tell English isn't his first language. And there's obviously the heavy Norwegian accent in there and stuff, but it just works.
Yeah, no, it works really well.
So now that I've stolen your answer, go on.
Specifically voice that I love. No, I have two. The Cattle's Mouth, Caligula's Horse.
Oh, shit.
His voice is really... Because,
I think particularly in the highs.
He's got a bit of an accent, you can tell he's reaching for him. Yeah.
He's Aussie.
The way he sings that song, I don't know what it is, but...
We do that, though. Like, Australians, when they sing, they never sound like Australians. Yeah. Unless it's, like, Akadaka or something.
No, but there's something about his voice when he sings. It's, like, soothing, very relaxing, and almost, accent-wise, almost ethereal. Like, it's...
Okay, yeah.
No, that's just how I interpret. That's how I hear it.
No, I'm with you. Mm. Sure.
Specifically that song, though. When I listen to the other songs on that album, I don't get the same feeling. But when I listen to... Cannon's Mouth, that one in particular, there's something about the way he enunciates the lyrics that kind of evokes.
Yeah, I feel that verses feeling in of particular.
Otherworldliness.
Yeah, the verses in particular are like that. Mm. The choruses have that sort of like high pitched, reachy, chorusy sort of a vibe to it.
The way he sings, and I stood waiting in your welcome shadow. That line in particular, the way he enunciates it, it's so... I just love it. It's really good. But I can also say, I really like Architects ever since you introduced me to them.
Sam Carter has a damn good voice, actually, yeah. Come to think of it. That man can sing. He's got pipes.
I really liked Hollow Crown. The way he emotes in that song really gets to me.
Yeah, that's early sort of... just past the point at which Architects were still a math metal band.
Yeah,
so that was when they slowed down and grew the fuck up. that album.
I really liked Hollow Crown. I liked the mixture of... I don't know the terminology for this. You would know it so much better than I.
Courses and cleans. Yeah,
exactly. Coarse and then more gentle.
Yeah.
Mm. I like the way...
He's always done that really well.
Yeah, I love the back and forth between that and how it doesn't feel jarring at all.
Oh, no, yeah, he does it in a way that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's most evident on, like, anything on Daybreak through Lost to Forever Lost Together, where you've got a stark contrast between how clean the cleans are and how coarse his coarse vocals are there. Mm. But they flow in a way that makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
if you look at Gone with the Wind, which is on the album after Lost Together, actually. I forget what that's called right now. I'm blanking on it. But it's a real sad song. It was the last song that Tom Selle wrote before he passed away. He started writing what became Doomsday as he passed in hospital. Rest in peace, man. That's really shit. No one should be dying at 25 from fucking cancer. That's ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, that one, like, where he rises up for the "I'm always gone with the wind," but he really, like, comes up with it, and then he comes straight back down to the, you know, what's the line? "You ever wondered how deep you can sink into nothing at all?"
Yeah.
That's the line. And it's just like, it's that real, like,
I know subdued. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I can definitely.
And you know he's coming straight back in with the real hard shit.
He's got really good control with his vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, not many people can do that.
Yeah, it's nuts. I can't even get anywhere near it. But it makes for, like, this really emotive, and I think that's the thing with the Architects, is, like, it's always going to be emotional.
And we already said them, but I really like Maynard's voice from Tool.
Oh, yes.
I love his voice. Very. Just speaking about, like, a song with a voice that you love, I really like Maynard's voice, and I really like the way he sings. I love the way he sings.
Yeah. His bit in, there's a Rage Against the Machine track called Know Your Enemy, and he has a bit in it where he goes, you know, I've got no patience now, sick of complacence now, yada yada, you know, time has come to pay. Yeah. And the main bit, combined with, like, the abrupt sort of harshness that Zach De La Rocca is, was pretty fucking nuts. Like, that's a 2.5. That whole album, the whole self-titled Rage Against the Machine album, is so good.
Really? That album was amazing, yeah. Like, it was hit after hit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we just hit 1 hour, so,
It won't be an hour once we edit it, though.
No, you know, true. It won't be an hour once we've edited it. But have fun editing it. Thank you for volunteering to edit it.
You're welcome.
I was 100% prepared to edit it, but then you decided, oh, well, I'm going to be the one to edit. So.
Fine, I might just make you edit it now. That's it. It's done.
Okay. we'll have to share it. Share editing duties.
Okay, we can do that.
Well, thanks for listening to our little music ramble.
Yeah, whatever music-y, rambly, quizzy, answery thing.
If you really listen to us for this long, then, like, props to you, man. What the fuck are you doing with your life? Listening to two Aussies talking about music?
Good job, mate.
Two fucking druggos.
What are you doing to me?
What are you doing to me? Why you have to be mad? It's only game.
Is that what we end on?
Yep.
Hell yeah. All right. Okay. See you later, nerds.
Bye.